So like I said, the message tonight is, what are you going to do about it? And I said already that it came from Joshua 10:24 and 25, but I encourage you to read that whole chapter. And I wanted to kind of give you a heads up here. In verse 8, I didn't give you that, but this is what it says. It said, "And the Lord said to Joshua, I have no fear of them, for I have given them into your hands. They will all give way before you." So what was going on was these kings had come up against the children of Israel. But Joshua, he went to the Lord. And the Lord revealed to him that he was with them. I'm telling you that he's already given us the weapons we need to defeat the enemy. It's just a matter of us using those weapons for his glory, not ours. See, God said that today the tables are going to turn. You're never going to see yourself the same way again if you'll apply these to your lives. It's the day of transformation for us. It's getting ready to go into battle. I read you in verse 8 that said that the Lord was going to be with them to not fear. But in verse 11, it said, "In their fight before Israel on the way down from Bethhoron, the Lord sent down great stones from heaven on them all the way to Azeth, causing their death. Those whose death was caused by stones were more than whom the children of Israel had put to death with a sword." You know, we don't hear this story very often. A lot of people have never heard it. The fact that the Lord sent stones from heaven to kill an army. Going on down to Joshua 10:24, it said, "Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, Come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. See, for this shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight." Also in Deuteronomy 2:24, it says, "Rise up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hands Sihon, and the Amorite king, and Heshbon, and his land." See, begin to possess it and contend with him in battles, what he's saying. And look at the same verse in the basic Bible English translation. It says in Deuteronomy 2:24, and in this translation says, "Get up now and go on your journey, crossing over the valley of Arnon." See, it's saying, get up. It's causing, it's an action. You have to apply it. I want you to look at one more scripture before we move into this lesson, and it's Luke 10:19. It says, "Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." See, these verses tell us something. You have to go after it. You have to engage the enemy in battle. See, I'm here to tell you tonight that the enemy has been delivered under your hands. I'm here to tell you that the power to defeat the enemy is in your possession. You know, I almost called this sermon a warrior or a weenie. Which are you? But I stuck with this one. See, the door of opportunity has a sign on it. It says push. See, God never promised that life would be without battles. He promised you the victory if you fight. That was the promise. You know, the crab family sings a song, "Through the Fire." I don't know if y'all have heard it or not, but it says he never promised that the cross would not get heavy. Have y'all heard that song? Said that the hill would not be too hard to climb. See, it's amazing to me how many lazy people we have in the church today who expect God to hand them everything on a silver platter. See, even Jesus himself said, "I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, Then he said, you must do the treading upon serpents and scorpions. It's up to you and me to put the devil under our feet. See, in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, what he's telling us, and this is paraphrased here, he said he tells us that we have weapons of warfare that are mighty given to us by God. And these weapons, we can pull down strongholds and we can cast down imaginations and high arguments and theories and exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. And we can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, in our text, Joshua said to the captains who were representative of the whole nation of Israel, so you see these kings under your feet, say, God will give us this kind of victory over every enemy that we fight against. Again, we see that God has promised the victory, but it depended upon action on our part. You had the power to overcome drug addiction. You got the power to overcome smoking, drinking, chewing tobacco, pornography, sexual immoralities. You have the power to overcome those. See, I'm reminded of the great walls that surround the city of Jericho. You know, God promised Joshua and the children of Israel that if He would give them that city, but they had to march around the city 7 days without saying a word. Did you notice that? Without saying a word, they had to march around the city for 7 days. And on the seventh day, and the final time around, they were to blow their trumpets and shout with a victory shout. I want you to note that they were to shout the victory shout before the walls ever fell. Did you catch that? See, before the walls ever fell, they were supposed to shout a victory. You know what? It took faith to do that. You to claim your victory before it actually occurs. That takes confidence. It takes faith in knowing that the objective that you're up against, the thing that you're in opposition to, is going to succumb to your pursuit. But you have to pursue it. It's time to shout over the strongholds that Satan has against us. It's time to claim our victory. Then through faith, God will deliver you, raining down rocks from heaven on the enemy. See, I believe one of the greatest problems we have in the church today is many of God's people are not properly trained and equipped to engage the enemy in battle. I see it over and over again. I say that not because of not being told or taught, but because so many today are unwilling to embrace the mindset and attitude of a warrior. So I'm here to tell you tonight that every good word, every good deed, good thought, good work, every good motive, every good thing is challenged every time by evil. So it has to be dealt with in a spiritual way. See, we must learn to stand on the resurrected ground that Christ provided for us. The victory is already ours. All we have to do is claim it and stand firm on the ground that He provided. See, the majority of the church world is very comfortable with that father-child relationship with God. Meaning, I'm His child and He's supposed to take care of me. And that's absolutely true. And what a privilege it is to have such a wonderful relationship with our Heavenly Father. But we're not talking about just waiting on Daddy God to do everything and to give us everything. See, we're talking about the fact that there is a devil who hates us and who has a host of demons at his disposal who are absolutely set against the child of God and that who wants to destroy us. See, we're also talking about the fact that we're supposed to be walking in Jesus' footsteps, doing the same thing that He did, and healing the sick, and cleansing the lepers, and casting out devils, and preaching deliverance to the captives, and setting people free from the devil's power. See, I hear people say all the time, well, that was a different time, and only those people at that time had that power to do that. But I beg your pardon, that's not the truth. That is a lie straight from Satan, and he'll mislead you as much as he possibly can to take that power from you. I guarantee you, my God is the same today as He was yesterday and what He's going to be tomorrow. He's the same. All I have to do is get on board. In Mark 16:17, it said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and they shall drink a deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." See, that is why we must do as the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6, is put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, we understand from the Scripture that the child of God is not supposed to lose in life. See, in 2 Corinthians 2:14 it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place." See, but this Scripture stands absolutely upon the premise that you and I are going to fight. You can't win the victory from a rocking chair. You've got to get up. You've got to apply it to your life. If you expect for a minute that these drivers out here or any of your friends that are walking around in a lost state are going to change without someone intervening in their lives, you're wrong. This world is not interested in reaching the lost. This world is interested only about self-satisfaction and self-gratification and self-edification. That's all this world's interested in. If it doesn't have something to do with self or something to do with money, which promotes self, this world's not interested in it. See, my intent for this message is to stir up the warrior in you. Because there is a warrior in you. See, I want you to realize you're more than a conqueror. I want you to recognize the greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I want you to get mad at everything the devil's doing in your family or in your ministry, in your finances, and in your health. We should get mad at those things that Satan has robbed from us. I want you to rise up on the inside and tell the devil, enough is enough. I'm going to take a stand. You know, there comes a time in your life where you just have to draw that line in the sand and say, you know what, I've had enough. Have any of you ever been in a position where you just got backed up against the wall as far as you can go? What happens if you corner an animal and you force him back into it? What's going to happen? He's going to come out fighting. The same goes for you, or it should go for you. And this world has continued to back you up into a corner over and over again. And the Christians in the United States and all over have cowered to the threat. Instead of standing bold in the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, instead we cower before it. We need help. So I want you to realize that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, and that you are seated with Him in heavenly places, and the devil is under your feet. Joshua said that put your feet on the kings, on their necks. That's exactly what we got for this world. We have that same opportunity. We have that same power. Look, the same God that parted the Red Sea is the same God I serve today. And He still has that same power. The same one that put Daniel in the lion's den and protected him through that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same one that protected them. He's the same God we serve today. He hasn't lost His power. We may have watered down His Word a little bit, but He hasn't lost His power. And I want you to realize that in the mind of God, that you're a winner. That you have the advantage. You have the Word of God, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are anointed. I'm here to tell you today, you ought to be telling your neighbor, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. See, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Do you understand that? If you have accepted Christ, that same Spirit dwells in you. What a blessing. And yet, what do we do with it? Nothing. We allow the world to get us in a corner and we say, well, okay. We give in. Look at our schools. Don't believe what I'm telling you. Go out there and look for yourself. Turn on the TV for just 10 minutes and see if there isn't something that pops up that's displeasing to God. And yet we let it pass right on by. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and with the Holy Ghost and with power and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In 1 John 2:20 and 2:20 it says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. In 2 Corinthians 1:21 it says, now He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. It's the one and the same. See, the devil's like that bully of the old Charles Atlas. Y'all remember that? The old Charles Atlas commercials and comics that used to come up all the time. And what it was this wimpy guy on the beach. He was sitting there with his girlfriend, and this big bully would come by and he'd kick sand in his face. Y'all remember that? And he'd take his girlfriend and he'd go off with it. It happened day after day after day, and all of a sudden this wimpy guy decided he's going to do something about it. And he gets up and he goes to start working out. Next time he you see him, he's coming out and he's this big pumped up guy, and he goes over to the guy that had been the bully, and he takes his girl back and but here's this Charles Atlas guy, right? And he's taking back his girl. Now I want to ask you, what was the difference? What happened to change that whole thing around? You got a wimpy guy to start with, and then all of a sudden you got a guy that's beefed up. He's pumped up. What was the difference? The difference was the wimpy guy put it into action. You see, he did something about it. So what are you going to do about it? See, that's the question tonight. What are you going to do about it? Now, we can continue to sit by and allow our relationship with Christ to be slowly nibbled away from us. And let me tell you, that's what the world's doing to us. It's slowly pulling away at us and watering down God's Word and taking from us what is rightfully ours. And that's the power of Christ. See, that's what Satan wants. I've said many times that what Satan likes is for good people, for good Christians to sit on the pew on their hands and do absolutely nothing. The churches are full of them. Even at my church. You see them. It's time to get up and work with the power that God has given us. If you want to see lives changed, if you want to see relationships restored, if you want to see families brought back together, then start working. Start working and using the power that Christ has provided for you. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Well, with that comes the power. We just haven't been using it. Sometimes we don't know how to use it. And that becomes a problem. But how do you fix it? How do you find out? Do what? The Word of God. You know, I'm a typical guy. Last thing I'm going to look at is the instructions. You know, it's just a guy thing. Or ask for directions, you know. However, I have found out that I'm more prone to ask now or to read now than I used to be. Now, why is that?
You don't understand it till you look into it.
That's right. It comes with clarity. See, clarity of vision. If you want to work in the will of God, you got to know what the will of God is. Some years ago, a young man approached a foreman of a logging crew, and he was asking him for a job. And the foreman told the young logger, he said, "Well, I tell you what, go drop that tree." So the young fellow goes out, he takes his axe, and he drops that tree, and nothing flat. The foreman looked at him and said, "Okay, come back to work on Monday." Kid comes back on Monday. He works Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Foreman comes to him on Thursday, and he said, "I want you to pick up your check today. I'm letting you go." And he says, "Well, wait a minute. What happened?" He said, "Well, Monday you came in and you took a lot of trees down. Tuesday you came in and you took a few less. Wednesday you didn't even keep up with the rest of the folks." He said, "I got to let you go." He said, "Well, wait a minute. Now I worked hard. I did all I could do." Isn't that us in the world? He said, "I did all I could do." So the foreman took a step back and he looked at him. He says, "Well," he's thinking to himself, "well, he did show up every day. He did do as I asked him to do. He just didn't produce like I needed him to produce." So he asked the young guy. Young guy's perplexed. He's like, "I can't believe it. I've worked hard all week. I've sweat like crazy. I've labored like crazy. And you're letting me go." Foreman looks at him and said, "Did you sharpen your axe?" He said, "Well, no, I didn't sharpen my axe. I didn't have time. I was too busy." Let me tell you something. This is your axe. You need to be sharp in it. You need to be up on it. It's hard to fight a spiritual battle when you don't know what the weapons are, when you don't know how to use the weapons, when you don't know how to meet the enemy. Let me tell you, Joshua in this story knew exactly what to do. God had told him that he would be with him. He told him that he was going to deliver the enemy into his hands. All he had to do was be assertive in his actions and claim the victory. God was going to provide it. It said that God rained stones down from heaven, and more died from that than from the sword of the Israelites. That's amazing. See, when we go through life seeking God's direction and His plan for our lives, we're a lot like that young logger. See, our efforts become powerless and fruitless, but when we seek God's direction, follow His plan, and let Him reveal His power, nothing can stop us. See, Joshua, he didn't sit and wait for the problem to just go away, did he? He took quick action to deal with that situation, and Joshua approached the crisis with courage and confidence and clarity. He knew what needed to be done. And he was willing to do it, to get it accomplished. See, we face great difficulties today in this age that we live. And since we are spiritual people, we'll always face spiritual attacks, because the one thing Satan fears the most is a Christian who is effective for the kingdom of God. That's why he wants us backed up in that corner, cowering before him. See, life can just get us from time to time. As we face the grind of daily living, and daily living can be enough to rob us of spiritual strength and the effectiveness that lies within. See, we need to face down our problems, the difficulties that we have, and not just simply be passive about it. They're not going to go away. Just ignoring them ain't going to fix anything. It kind of reminds me, you remember Sanford and Son? When the bills would come in the mail and Lamont would bring them in, he'd say, put them back in the box, boy. He didn't want to see them. Put them back in the box. We can't do that with our problems, and we certainly can't do it with our sin. We have to acknowledge that. We have to ask for forgiveness in those areas in our lives that are not pleasing to God. And let me tell you, God will reveal those things to you. I think that far too often we just do what we think is right and what we think is best without really seeking the direction of God. See, one of the greatest problems in the lives of Christians today is that we fail to seek God's guidance and wait for His direction. We're too busy. We just rush out there and do it on our own, don't we? Oh, I got a better idea. Yeah, my better ideas normally cost me a fortune. You want to make a mess of something? Strike out and do it under your own power. Especially when it's a spiritual related matter. Because let me tell you, you are fighting the powers of darkness. That's what the Scriptures referred to it as. The wiles of Satan. See, when God gives His direction, follow it. The simple truth is that where God leads, He also is present. See, so if we follow His leading, we'll always be in His presence. See, Joshua testifies that the power of God won the day and gave him the victory that was so desperately needed. See, the same principles can work for us today in your life as well as because life really hasn't changed that much from then until now. And God has never changed. I covered that a while ago. See, if you're honest with yourself, you have some deep needs in your life today. See, I don't know what they are, but you and God knows what those needs are that you have in your life, and you have a child that strayed from God, or maybe you've got a spouse that wants nothing to do with church, or you have a marriage that's coming apart at the seams, and maybe you got a problem that seems impossible to solve, and you have an illness that is stronger than the ability to cope with, and you have an addiction that you can't break. See, I know all of these self-help, self-improvement, and self-sufficient plans this world offers to you will never be enough to fix it. I don't care how many inspirational shows you see. I don't care how many books you read. They're not going to provide you with the same amount of power that the Scriptures will. That God's Word will. If you want to see God's power flow in your life, you need to follow Joshua's foolproof plan for victory. When a problem comes up, seek God first. When God gives you a definite direction, follow it. When God breaks out, give Him the credit that He is due. You know, every time I've thought about giving up and slacking off, He reminds me of how miserable I was prior to. If you want to do something to change your life, do it in the eyes of the Lord. Follow His lead. May sound humorous, but here's a great application. See, nothing will change in your circumstances until you change. See, you've decided to be a man of God and you were destined to be one, or the woman of God and you were destined to be one. I'm telling you now, and you have decided to discipline yourself to the Word of God, or to fast and to pray. You don't like the circumstances you're dealing with in your life. And then you ask the question, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? See, you don't like what the devil's doing in your finances. So I got to ask you that question, what are you going to do about it? Nothing will change until you do something. Now, you can do two things. You can go along with the flow. Don't cause no ripples. Don't ruffle any feathers. You know, I hear that all the time. I got a government job. Don't cause no waves. I don't want no phone calls. Pacify them. Or you can meet it eye to eye, nose to nose. It is what it is. It's either with God or it's against God. One of the two. The same goes for your position. You can't be in both. You can't be in both fields. It's one or the other. See, there was a man in the Bible who was bedridden. Y'all remember this story? He couldn't walk. But he had friends who wanted things to be different for him. So they heard that Jesus could make him well. So they took him to Jesus. And Jesus was ministering to the crowds. And the crowd was so large that they couldn't get him to Jesus. So what did they do? They went up on the roof and they tore the roof back and they lowered him down right in front of Jesus. See, they could have said, sorry, man. You know, it's just too busy out here. We tried. Isn't that what we do in life? Hey, I gave it a good try. I went out there and I knocked on the doors. I told them about it. I tried. I gave it a good old college try. Did you really? Or did you just go through the motions? They lowered him down right in front of Jesus, and Jesus healed him just like that. Take up your bed and walk. And he did just that. See, there was a woman also whose daughter was possessed with a devil. And she came to where Jesus and his disciples were. And his disciples intercepted her. And they told Jesus, send her away, for she crieth after us. And finally she gets through to through the reluctant disciples and cries to Jesus, have mercy on me, she says. I have a daughter who is grievous vexed with a devil. See, the first response was, he answered her, not a word, it says. Not a word. And then he said, it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. See, the woman could have hung her head and walked away. She could have gotten angry and resentful. She could have even lost all hope. She could have let her pride rise up for being called a dog. See, the disciples resisted her, and Jesus, for the moment, had ignored her. And then when he did give her his attention, he referred to her as a dog. You know, why submit yourself to that kind of treatment? And that's what we look at. We look at the very surface of the thing. But she had a goal. See, the answer is she wanted a change in her life. And she needed a change. And she needed something from Jesus. And she wasn't going to budge on it. She had drawn that line in the sand. And she says, I'm standing here until I get your blessings, until I'm in your will, until I'm walking in your path. And I'm not budging from it. You're going to answer me. Because I'm going to stand right here in obedience to you and to your word until I get an answer. She wasn't leaving until she received what she needed. She wasn't going to yield to intimidation or ridicule. See, those around her told her it's hopeless, it's helpless. But Jesus said, greater is he. Her focus was on something much more important than her current temporary circumstances. And you see, we let that tear us down. We look at the things that are happening right here. I call it putting out the closest fire. Isn't that the way we do sometimes? Like on your rig, you put out the closest fire, whatever's broke at the moment. You never get into a preventive maintenance program. I run a transportation company, so I know what I'm talking about here. If you want to keep a top-notch equipment, You've got to have a preventive maintenance program. You've got to stay ahead of the fire, or you'll constantly be running around and fixing this and fixing this and fixing this. The same way in your spiritual walk. You got to stay ahead of it. And the only way to stay ahead of it is to bury your nose in this, in God's Word. Put it into your heart. She answered, "It doesn't matter if you consider me a dog. I will gladly be called a dog if you'll at least throw me or drop me just a crumb of the bread that you are giving to the children." See, Jesus said, "Woman, great is your faith. Go your way. The devil is gone out of your daughter." That was his response. So you can sit around complaining about how bad everything is and about what the devil's doing in this world and about what you don't like and how you wish things were different. I hear it all the time. "Oh man, I wish things were different. I see this stuff happening every day." My question is, what are you doing about it? It will continue to be that way. Until something changes. That change starts with you. It starts with me. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you truly belong to Christ, that there's several things that stand out. One is that you're called. Another is you're chosen. You're anointed. You have the name of Jesus on your forehead. You have the Word of God. You have the power of the blood of Jesus. You have the righteousness of God in Christ. You're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. The greater one lives in you. So what are you going to do about it? How long will you let the devil bully you around? Kick sand in your face and take those things that rightfully belong to you. How long are you going to allow it to happen? You can go the rest of your life and nothing will make a difference in it. You can choose that for yourself. I see it every day out here in this world. I've got coworkers. I see it in them. The same thing. I wish so much for them sometimes. I really, well, all the time. I wish them such blessings, but they continue to do the same thing over and over again. Nothing ever changes, and I see them. One of the ladies over at the office says, "It's going around the mountain." You see them do the same thing over and over again. They go around that mountain. Same troubles again. They get past those troubles, and they go right on around the mountain again. And then they're right back where they were. And nothing changed outside of time that was lost. Time that they could have been serving for the greater cause of Christ, to further His kingdom. So you got to make that decision to put on your armor and to take the sword and to take your authority as a son and a daughter of God and to take that bully out. See, I pray that God will grant us the desire to be transformed by His power, and not conform to this world, as it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. See, before you can claim victory, though, over the enemy, you must first know how to tear down the strongholds. You must know how to destroy the wiles of Satan and to subdue the adversary. And you're not going to be able to do that by sticking to yourself. You're going to have to open up God's Word. You need to join yourself with others. Paul said, he said, "I long to see you that I might impart to you a spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." He knew the importance of joining with other believers. You see, when I join with you, I grow in your faith and you can grow in mine. There's things that we can learn from each other. We can learn good things and we can learn bad things, but we can learn how to avoid the wrong things. We each have something to offer. I stand up here tonight, but I pray one day that you will be up here. We've got a program called the Missionary Driver Program, and it'll take any driver that has a good biblical foundation, and we'll put them in the field as a missionary. I've got quite a few of them across the nation right now. that have decided that they're going to do something, that they're going to make a change. Hey, they may not know exactly what to do right now, but through training and through a desire to make a difference, they step forward. They say, you know what, I'm going to get off my hands. I've been sitting on them long enough. But let me tell you, before you can join the battle, you first got to belong to the army. There's only one way in. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. It's not like you're going to Walmart. There is only one way. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just that simple. But you see, we got an issue here because we all have this flesh we deal with. And with it comes bumps, bruises, and stains. We've all done things out here in this world. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. In Romans 6:23 it says, wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we know that sin separates us from God. We know that that leaves us in a lost state. We have to confess that sin. We have to believe in our hearts. Before you can put your foot on it, you have to identify it. You have to recognize it for what it is. Sin is sin. You got to get honest with God about it, and you got to get honest with yourself if you want to get rid of it. You'll never quit drinking if you still love it. You'll never quit lusting if you still love it. Same goes for overeating or gambling or smoking or overspending or quarreling and arguing. As long as you love it, or pornography or holding grudges, as long as you love it, it'll continue to drag you down. You can't do both. You've got to get to the point in your life where you hate it. In Psalms 139:21-22, it says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that raise up against you, against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. In other words, David was speaking of a hatred born out of love. His love for God was so strong that it made him hate the things that were opposed to God. And that's what we got to get in our lives. You can't stand on both sides of the fence. And you can't sit on top of it and be on one team or the other. See, your love for God must move you to hate the things that adversely affect your relationship with Him. See, my flesh may want to lean in a particular direction that it desires, but if it is harmful to my relationship with God, then my spirit man hates that. See, before you can put your foot on it, you've got to hate those things that are unpleasing to God. I've said before that we're kind of like an onion. You know, on the outside of that onion is hard and crusty. But once you start pulling it away, and that's this, that's us. We start pulling that sin away that God reveals to us that's not pleasing to Him. And we peel that other petal back that's not pleasing to Him. And eventually we're going to get to the meat of the matter. And that's where God wants us. He wants the old crusty stuff pulled away. You can't tolerate it and conquer it. You can't pet it and conquer it. And you can't cover it and conquer it. And you can't deny it that it exists and conquer it. You got to hate it with a holy hatred. And when you do, you'll go after it and destroy it. So when you truly hate it, not only will you want victory over it, but you'll want everyone else to have victory over it as well. I remember I used to smoke years and years ago. I guess it's been close to 20 years now. But you know, I can't stand to be around smoke now. I used to smoke like a freight train. But I don't like to be around it now. Why is that? You see, it was not pleasing to God when I was doing it. I recognized it. I had to turn on it. Same goes for anything in our lives that's not pleasing to God. We got to turn it over. We got to get to that point to where I don't want to be around it. You also got to recognize where your weaknesses are. If you're weak in an area, you got to go away from it. If you got an issue with pornography, you got to be careful where you go on the internet. You got to be careful when you're driving down the highway and you pass the signs on the side of the road. You got to be careful when you go into the restaurant or into the grocery store or into the truck stop where they got the magazines posted. You got to guard yourself from that. You can't allow yourself to be there and to be right with God. The temptation can be too strong if you're not strong enough to face it. You're not strong enough to defend it against. You need to stay away from it. We used to transport this guy through my company that was an alcoholic. You want to know where they had him working? In a bar. I mean, come on, get real. He didn't make it. I wonder why. That was a no-brainer, you know. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've got a temple, and you've got to protect it. That's all we have to do. We try to make it so complicated, but it's not. I want you to listen to me now. This promise is from God. He'll forgive you and He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Turn from your sins and ask Christ to come into your heart. If you want to be in the army of God, then that's what's required. That's what you have to do. You can't go out and purchase it. You can't buy you a uniform and be part of the army of God. You can't dress up and go to church every Sunday and expect that you're automatically in the army of God. You can't go down and get baptized and expect that that got you into the army of God. You can't give a bunch of money on Sunday, put it in an offering plate so everybody can see you, and expect that that got you into the army of God. You can't lift your hands and pray and turn your ring around where everybody can see it and expect that to get you into the army of God. It don't work that way. It's much simpler than that. Confessing your sins. Asking the Lord to come into your heart. And that's what we're going to do right now. You know, in Romans 10:9, it says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's just that simple. We're going to close with a prayer of salvation. If you've prayed this 100 times, it won't make a bit of difference. You won't be any more saved than you were when you came in. But if you haven't, this can be a brand new day for you. You got an opportunity to lay all your burdens at the foot of the cross and to walk out of here a brand new person. There's nothing holding you back. There's nothing keeping you from it. We say this out loud as to encourage the person beside us. We don't know what state they're in. I don't know what state you're in. But this is it. Dear God, I know that Jesus is your Son, and that He died on the cross for my sin, and that He was raised from the dead. I also know that I have sinned, and I'm now asking for forgiveness. I'm willing to turn from my sins and receive Jesus as my Savior and Master over me. Help me to be the kind of Christian that You want me to be. And thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.